This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
You know, I just wanted to share with you just for a few minutes something that just God just keeps continually putting on my heart over and over and over again. And I don't know if it's just because of what I do here on the weekends and throughout the week here at the Orchard. But God continually puts this thing about worship in my life. And maybe there's lessons for me. I'm continually learning new things. But, you know, we use this term worship, and we talk about it as, you know, a worship service or worship music. And we talk about, man, wasn't the worship great today? And somebody tells me that, I was just kind of wondering, well, was it the band really good? Or, you know, what was it exactly that made it, the worship good today? And I think maybe it's just because we don't truly understand what worship is. And it has a lot of different facets, like Scott mentioned earlier. There's a lot of different parts to it. So maybe that's why it gets a little confusing. But I wanted to kind of bring it down to the ground level for you and make it just simple, make it, you know, practical and something that you can take with you. First of all, what is worship? And worship is something that is really in the scriptures in the Bible. It talks about worship in several different ways. But the main way, the main crux of what worship means is it's for us to give worth to someone or something, to give our priorities, to give our attention, to give our time to someone or something. Now, again, if you're new to experiencing who God is, then you might not have any idea of what that means, but really you're worshiping something. We're all made to worship something. Just like that song said earlier, we are made to worship. We're talking through this series called Soul Cravings. And really, our soul craves for the things that God has innately put in us, those things that God has written on our hearts, that he's kind of intertwined in our DNA as human beings. And one of those things that we cannot escape from, no matter where we are, whether we agree with God or believe in God or not, is he's put this thing of wanting to worship someone or something. His desire is that we'll turn and worship him, that we'll give him that attention, that we'll give him that honor and show him that worth. But it comes down to what is it that we are worshiping? And, you know, there's a lot of things that we do that are acts of worship. You know, Scott also mentioned a couple of weeks ago in talking through this series that there's practices, there's things that we do that position us for God's work in us. The practices aren't what change us, but they position us for God's work in us. And so, you know, we sing, we pray, we read from the Bible, we study the Bible, we listen to a message maybe. We give of our finances, of our time as a volunteer, maybe. We take communion together. We spend time alone with God. We do a lot of different things that are acts. They're practices of worship. We sing music together as a corporate body together on Sunday mornings and first Wednesdays and at different times. But so we do things together that are practices of worship. But I want to challenge you with this scripture today. It's from Romans chapter 12. It's verses 1 and 2, and it's actually from The Message. There's lots of cool translations of this particular verse, but this is what The Message says. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering, because embracing what God has done for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Give God your attention. You'll be changed from the inside out. I love that. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Because unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, talking about soul cravings and wanting to go deeper, to me, this passage is just so key because it talks about several things. For one, God desires this of you. He wants this for you. And he also says at the very beginning of that passage, God helping you, because it's something that we can't do on our own. But he says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're walking, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and put that before God as an offering. So what does that mean? That means that I can go to work and worship God. I can be driving in my car, even on the Chicago highways, with cars honking and people cutting me off in traffic, and I can worship God. I can talk to my spouse or my kids in a way that worship God, that worships God. I can talk with coworkers or relate to coworkers or my boss or there's all these different things that we can do in our lives. And really what it amounts to is choices. We can choose then to worship God in anything that we do and in everywhere we are. Again, just like we talked about just a moment ago, that there's no place that we can't go to not be in God's presence. Well, if we can truly understand that, if we truly grasp that and then truly understand that everything we do is worship, our lives will be changed, like that passage says, from the inside out. We will become totally different people. And in fact, the people around us would recognize that we're totally different people because God is changing us from the inside out, and it's God that is doing the changing within us. And I love that line, that passage at the end of there that says, God brings the best out of you. He desires our worship. Why? He wants us to bring him glory. Why? Because he wants to bring the best out of you. He desires to make you all that he designed you to be. So I want to challenge you, maybe it's this afternoon, maybe as you're watching the Bears game, that you can watch the Bears game in a style of worship, in an attitude of worship, whether they win or not, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. No, but to think about that this week as you go through your life. And what I'd like to do is I would like to spend just a couple minutes singing a song with you. And the song, as we go through the song, I want to just kind of ask you a few questions. And I think some of those questions are in your service guide there. And they'll also be up on the screens. But I'd like you to just take a few moments while the lights are kind of low. We've got candles. It's just a great environment, an opportunity for you to just kind of experience some intimacy with God. And just to kind of ask some of these questions of yourself and just kind of say, okay, God, you know, how can I make this practical in my life? How can I really live out worship? How can I have a lifestyle that represents and gives you worship?
You know, in the book of Romans, Mike just referred to the book of Romans moments ago when he was reading that from the Message paraphrase, a great verse. But you know, Romans is somewhat of a diverse book. In fact, the first three chapters of the book of Romans, it's somewhat depressing, just to be honest with you. I mean, as you read it, you feel as though, man, there is no hope in the world. And you're thinking to yourself, what is the Apostle Paul talking about? I mean, I'm just depressed reading this. This isn't inspiring. And then after chapter 3, all of a sudden there's this huge turn. And the Apostle Paul begins to talk about God's grace. And because of God's mercy, and because of that, we have hope in the world. And for the next 9 chapters, he just explodes and talks about how good God is and how great his grace is in our life. Then all of a sudden, he gets to chapter 9. And moments ago, Mike read this, but I want to read it out of the NIV, and this is what it says. Therefore, everyone say, therefore. Now, anytime you see therefore in the scriptures, you need to ask yourself, why is it therefore, right? Just a biblical principle. But it said, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of his grace, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And he finishes by saying this, for that is your spiritual worship. Everyone say, spiritual worship. It also could be translated as saying this, for that is your spiritual service. You know, Mike said moments ago that, yes, worship is about singing. Worship is about, you know, partaking of communion or giving back to God. But worship is even more than that. It's not just when we come here and we put on these pretenses, as some may do, and we act as though God is the greatest thing in the world, but then Monday comes around and we're like the devil. Or maybe almost the devil. 665.6 or something like that. And we treat everybody horribly. Maybe you're a boss. Maybe you're your coworkers. Maybe you're in cubicle land and you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't need to worship. Sunday's not here. You see, worship, the Apostle Paul, he said, listen, you are to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, for that is your spiritual worship, your service. When Monday rolls around, you get up and say, God, how can I worship you today? How can I treat others? What does that look like? You know, the Apostle Paul, I don't know about you, but the Apostle Paul, he tells us, he said, listen, you need to live your life as a living sacrifice, and you need to, you know, this is a spiritual worship to God. And you're like, yeah, but how do I do that? And then you go down to verse 9 in Romans chapter 12, and he just gives you a myriad of examples of what that looks like in everyday life. And the first thing he says is, love is to be sincere. Everyone say sincere. Now that actually comes from the Latin phrase which translates sincera, which means without wax. You see, in the ancient world, in the marketplace, you had a lot of different merchants that would sell pottery items. And in those days, obviously when the Apostle Paul is writing this, when he says love is sincere or sincera, they know exactly what he's talking about. Because in Jesus' day, or in the times of the Apostle Paul, there were these merchants that would make these pottery items and sell it in the marketplace. And what would happen is that they would have these dishonest merchants who would get the pottery ready, and they would get ready to put it in the kiln. And then they would come out and there would be cracks around the pottery. So what these dishonest merchants would do is that they would take this kind of pearly white wax and fill in the cracks, kind of hide it, paint it, and then they would sell it to those without anyone knowing that there was something wrong. Until maybe the person that buys maybe a statue of Caesar has it in their front lawn, and one day it's just extremely hot and that crack begins to show and that wax begins to melt, and all of a sudden Caesar's nose falls off or something, you know? They realize there's something wrong here. I didn't pay for this, you know? But then the honest merchants, they would take the pottery that was clean, that had no cracks, and they would sell it, but they would label it sincera, without wax. See, when the Apostle Paul says love is to be sincere, in other words, we need to move sincerely toward being loving and kind and generous to those around me. It's not always easy. The Apostle Paul said it was never easy, but I think when he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, I think for some of us, that's a daily thing, an hourly thing. Maybe at this very moment, you're constantly saying, God, I give myself to you. You know, you selfish thing. No. But here Paul is saying, listen, love is to be sincere. And he goes again through a myriad of examples. So how about you today? What does that look like for you? Maybe for some of you, you've kind of gotten detracted. You've kind of got off course, if you will. That maybe you're sitting here today and saying, you know what? I haven't offered any type of worship to God or service to other people. It's all been about me. And maybe today you feel bad about that. You feel like, man, I really want to take the next step to living my life as a living sacrifice to God and to others. I've worshiped to God. The other day I was with some friends. We were going to this leadership workshop, and one of the girls had bought a brand new car that had a GPS system in it. And she had, if you have a GPS system or you're somewhat aware of them, that you can like change the voices, you know, from a female to a male. And this woman had, the girl I was riding with some others, she had named the GPS. So we have like Susan and Jeffrey. It was a little weird, okay? And I remember we're driving along, and she had, you know, typed in where we're going, you know, to this workshop. And I had been there before, and all of a sudden we're going down, and then it says to, you know, Susan at the time, said to take a right. But being a male that I am, I said, we need to just keep going straight, right? And we were going the wrong direction because Susan was wrong, all right? And I remember we get like, you know, 2 miles down the road, and I realize we're going the wrong direction. And of course, again, I'm a male, and we don't stop for directions. So We had to recalculate, you know, on the GPS system. And I think that's a lot like God. Maybe this morning, maybe you've been going the wrong direction. Maybe your life hasn't been a living sacrifice. Maybe you haven't been worshiping in your everyday life, practicing that worship in your everyday life. But just like the GPS, we just recalculated, and then Susan, in this case, directed us in the way we should go. See, I think it's the same thing with God. That maybe our life in a daily, you know, our daily life, hourly life, that we haven't been living a life of worship, but the moment we notice it and recognize it, we can recalculate it, and God comes alongside us and directs us. And so maybe you're here this morning, and you're again, your life hasn't been a life of worship, but this morning I challenge you, and I dare you to take that next step. Maybe as the Apostle Paul says, you know, a person that lives a life of worship is a person that is loving and sincere, sincera, without wax. It's like one translation says, don't pretend that you love people, really love them. Really love them, because it's worship to God.
Wow, what just a great time this morning of just worshiping our Creator, our King. And I'll tell you what, if there's anything I hope we walk away with today, it's just understanding that worship is so much more than just coming in on Sundays and singing for 10, 15, 20 minutes. Worship is about our lives. It's about how we live on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's how we treat others. And not just the others who are easy to treat well, but the ones who are challenging to treat well. We all know those. Maybe you're sitting next to that person right now. Don't shake your head yes. But I mean, that's worship. A few days ago, or a couple weeks ago, I was walking down one of the halls here, and I saw someone. They were walking down the hall, and they picked up this tissue or this piece of paper off the floor, and they ran over and threw it in the garbage, and they turned around, and I was standing there, and they said, well, you know, hey, you never know when there might be visitors here. And I said, you're right. I said, that was awesome, great job. But you know what they were doing at that moment? They were worshiping God. They were doing at that moment, not doing it for themselves, they were doing it for God. And there's a scripture I'm just going to leave you with today. It's over in Colossians chapter 3. And I just love this because this is such a great reminder for us in our lives, because we all have those challenging moments, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's in our families, our marriages, our relationships, whatever it is. But in Colossians chapter 3, Paul, it reminds us, he says this, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And I'm telling you, if we could get that in our hearts, that would change the way we do our jobs. That would change the way we relate to that boss that we have trouble with, or relate to that person in our neighborhood who we wish maybe would move far, far away, you know? It says, look, when we do these things as though we're working for the Lord rather than for people. And then it says this, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So my hope, my prayer is that times like this would simply be just a catalyst for our lives, that when we leave here today, we would just be more determined that we're going to live this life of worship. Because again, we're talking about how do we go deeper in our lives? How do we go deeper in our journey of following Jesus? And one of those ways is by being aware and worshiping every opportunity we get, when we're driving in the car, when we're at our homes, when we're way we treat our spouse, the way we treat our children, our families. This was a great time today. We're so glad you came out. We're going to continue the series next couple of weeks. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to talk about the practice of prayer. And what does that mean? You know, prayer is one of those things that, gosh, there's so many different ideas out there about prayer. So we're going to talk about prayer. We're also going to talk the following week about the Bible. What do you do with the Bible? I mean, it's a thick book, you know. Like, where do you start? What do you do with it? How do you really get something out of it in your own personal life? So I want to encourage you to come back these next couple of weeks. It's great to see you guys, and love you guys. Appreciate you being here today. And before we leave, we're going to close out with one more song. So would you stand back up on your feet? See, we're having a lot of stand-up sitting down because we want all of you who come from a Catholic background to feel comfortable here this morning. So we're gonna close out with one more song this morning. Great to see you guys. We'll see you next week.